Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice from came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice that came for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Turning points. Turning points are those moments, those times, the situations after which things are different from us, after we experience to some degree a new way of living. Turning points. In the course of our lives, we often meet these things. When we are young, they're often thrust upon us, like going to school, which we have not much choice over. And like it or not, we all went through that, or are still going through it. And the older we get, the more difficult the turning points may be. Again, they may be forced upon us, like losing a job, or facing unexpected illness, or tragically the loss of a loved one through death. Many turning points are painful and difficult. But turning points can also be wonderful and marvelous and positively life-changing, especially when we choose them. Choosing a career path, choosing and getting a job, choosing to get married, choosing to have a child, or even choosing to become part of a new congregation, which could be the most frightening of all turning points for some. Now, today may be the fifth Sunday in Lent, but it's also St. Patrick's Day, a day widely observed by those folks of Irish descent and many, many others. Aside from legends and fun celebrations like green beer, no green wine today in the Eucharist, the story of Patrick is most notable for one thing. He was born in England, captured and a slave as a young man by Irish pirates, and forced into slavery in England for many years. Even after escaping, though, he did not forget Ireland. And in a dream, he felt God called by God to return to Ireland and spread the gospel. He accepted the call. A very powerful turning point for him, and for the rest of his life, he devoted himself as an apostle to the Irish, with fantastic results. When true and good turning points are chosen and accepted, the results are powerful. In our life in Christ, you and I, followers of Jesus, striving to make our lives a testimony to our faith in Christ, Lent is also the best time to look at this. for choosing a turning point after which we will be healthier, physically or spiritually or emotionally. And it is also important to believe that you are helped in making that turning point by God in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. But essentially, as they are these Lenten, essentially as they are, these turning points are the most difficult of all. And many of us dodge them, we see them, we know we should take them, but we do not. We fear what life would be like if we were to make them and do them. 5 weeks ago today, at the start of Lent, I noted the spiritual dangers of the 7 classic deadly sins. And now, as Lent will soon end, we see them again. If these things are things to turn from, anything to turn from, it's these. We don't notice them, but they sneak into our lives very, very slowly. And you'll remember, no, maybe you've forgotten because they're a little uncomfortable to remember. There they are: lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, anger, envy, and pride. They often lie there in our lives unnoticed, but they corrupt our spiritual growth and blindness of seeing or even wanting to see God. Christ is a basic antidote, cure for this, and he works through the 7 virtues. And these are the 7 virtues. Chastity cures us from lust. Temperance, or abstinence, cures us from gluttony. Charity can cure us from greed. Diligence can undo the power of sloth. Patience can help us deal with anger. Kindness can deal with envy. And humility can be the antidote to pride. These are the things to pray for. Maybe not all, unless some of you are really corrupt. Maybe you can just go to some of them that really speak to you, 1 or 2. But it takes a tough decision on your part and mine to face the reality of sin and to receive and build the antidote. Spiritual turning points are the key to a deep, satisfying way of life, free of the poisonous effect on our hearts and our minds that the deadly sins produce. The roots of the hatred and the abuse and the frustration we see in our own country, in politics and other places, in our national life and our personal lives, they are rooted in the 7 deadly sins. And we have the challenge in Jesus to take the turning points and become each of us a center where the powerful and the life-giving Spirit of Christ can truly be a salvation for ourselves, for our hearts, and for our minds. Giving these virtues can find expression, and when they do in your life, they heal the world around you. In our gospel today, we heard these words. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." In looking at Jesus' life and ministry, you might see several moments we could call turning points for him. Certainly, his experience at his baptism by John in the River Jordan was the first and most powerful turning point. The experience of the voice of God, the vision of the Holy Spirit's descent, all these opened the door in Jesus' heart and mind to see that the journey to announce the kingdom, to proclaim the kingdom, and see it started had arrived. There were other times, of course, but all of them, the most significant was when he began to talk about suffering and death. Matthew, Mark, and Luke placed this turning point when he asked his disciples who they thought he was, and Peter announced that Jesus was the Messiah. And in response to Peter's claim, Jesus began to talk about suffering and death. This talk about death upset Peter so much, he loudly rejected this idea, which in turn brought Jesus' sharp criticism of Peter. This turning point, with a focus on arriving in Jerusalem and facing the worst that his enemies could do to him, was a radical shift in what Jesus had been teaching and left his disciples confused and alarmed. Yet Jesus saw that it was inevitable, and he was determined to face it. That same turning point in John's gospel came from a different circumstance, and that's what we heard today. It happened when some Greeks came seeking Jesus. Well, they were no doubt Greek Gentiles that had converted to Judaism, or they couldn't even be in the temple. In their coming to see him, Jesus recognized that the message of the kingdom, this community of radical acceptance that he was proclaiming, was at last being accepted by these Greek Gentile seekers. The message had caught on. Jews, Gentiles, Greeks, or some or all of them were seeking this new community, this new way of life. And Jesus saw this as a sign that the message was getting through. It was spreading, and nothing would stop it. Not even, he knew, his death. In fact, he saw that his death and implied resurrection would be a culmination of all he had said, all he had done to that point. From this time onward, in John's gospel, Jesus focused on preparing his followers for what was going to happen to him and what was going to happen to them on account of it, how they were to see themselves in a new light. The Last Supper in this gospel is devoted to long speeches by Jesus about his love for them, how they were to display the same kind of acceptance and love to each other, and how his Spirit would be with them on this new part of their journey with him. So the turning point was not only for Jesus, but for his followers as well. Things were never the same again for all of them. Things were never the same, and that continues to this day. When you accept Christ as Lord, Jesus as Lord, a Lord who suffered death and experienced resurrection, it is a turning point when you really do this, a turning point in your life of faith and what life is all about in union with him. When you really see this and accept this, your essential turning point has been reached. It can happen several times in your life, but the point is it does happen to you. In everyday life, we often reach moments when we see the need to make decisions, important ones, maybe not of the same caliber or importance as faith moments, but certainly necessary for you and the others around you. Like the story of the man who called the church office one day and said, "Can I please speak to the head hog at the trough?" The secretary was taken aback by this. "What did you say?" she asked, annoyed. "Can I talk to the head hog at the trough?" the man repeated. Highly offended, the secretary said, "If you mean the rector, you may refer to him as father, or as pastor, or even as reverend, but you certainly may not refer to him as the head hog at the trough." The man said, "Well, I was planning on giving $50,000 to your church's building fund, but hold on," the secretary quickly replied, "the big fat pig just walked in the door." A turning point. For some cash, maybe at times, money really does talk. But getting to the really important points in establishing this community of love envisioned by Jesus, we have to face what stands in the way in our current culture and society. So I must search my own heart, and you yours, for tendencies, temptations, to disdain or hate others, which is one of the biggest problems that this country faces right now. Even those who make up the forces of evil that I in my baptism and you in your baptism said we were going to renounce. I must refuse to give in to despair, to forget that God and Jesus Christ is constantly present with us. Jesus as Messiah counters hatred with love, with actions to strengthen the good in our world, and there is plenty of good there if you have eyes open to see it. The current situation in our land can be a turning point for the powers of good and not give up for the powers of evil. For you and me, as members of Jesus Christ the Messiah, to strongly and intentionally pray for an act for those who are on the margins, for those who are victims of hate and rejection, who cannot help themselves. In that way, as we protect these people, we work to balance justice, real justice in our world. And because of that turning point, become more and more a force of sacrificial love in your life, in all of our lives, which turning to Jesus brings, and with that, the peace and the power of God. Amen.